Now, we haven't read all of the Christmas story, so if you look at these screens now, we're going to have an abridged version of the Christmas story called Christmas 101.
Girl named Mary, and an angel came to her one day and said,
"You're having a baby."
"A baby? What kind of baby?"
"Look like pumpkins."
"That's it?"
"And frogs."
Mary went to go tell Joseph, her husband, who she was marrying.
"I'm gonna have a baby, and he's gonna be the son of God, and I don't know what we're gonna do about it."
They traveled to Bethlehem to pay their taxes,
and they probably didn't want to walk that far.
They wanted a sports car.
The rooms were full because it was Christmas Eve.
They asked people, and they said there's nowhere to stay.
"Yes, I'm Joseph. Where do we stay?"
"I have no idea."
They asked the innkeeper, "Do you have any rooms?" He said, "No, I don't, but you can sleep in the barn."
She was like, "I'm not staying in there."
"Is that the only place we can go?"
"Stinky."
They said, "Okay." And then the baby Jesus was born.
The shepherds were out in the field.
They take care of sheep.
And it was Davis and his brothers and his dad, Jeffrey. No, wait, not Davis. Daniel. And the angel showed up and said that God's being born.
And then they said, "Follow the star. Follow the brightest star. You'll see you'll see baby Jesus."
What else?
"Wise men were three kings from the east. And they saw this bright light. And it was when Jesus was born."
They brought gifts to him.
Metal presents. Gold. Something and something.
Gold. And
Frankenstein and
bow. They look like metal.
It's about Jesus.
He wanted to love people, and he wanted them to be happy.
First he was a little baby, and then he started growing up to be a man, and then he was Jesus.
He made us, and he loves us.
He's God, and that's why we celebrate Christmas.
Christmas is Santa's birthday.
Kids are great, aren't they? Reminds me of my son when he comes back and I ask him, you know, what you've been learning? And he often comes up with just some random stuff, and I think, I'm sure they haven't been teaching you that. A little girl was drawing a picture, and her mother came up to her and asked her this: "What are you drawing?" She replied, "I'm drawing a picture of God." Her mother laughed and said, "But no one knows what God looks like." And the little girl looked up and said, "Well, they will when I finish my picture." I wonder, what is your picture of God? Is he a distant God that doesn't care? Is he a sort of incompetent God who makes mistakes? Is he a vindictive God who punishes people? Is he someone who just wants rules and regulations for us? Or is he something else? I wonder, what is your picture of God? Have you ever wondered, if God is real, if he's in control, what's he doing? What's he doing? I mean, what's his purpose? What's his plan, if he has one? Do you want to get a handle on the plans and purposes of God for this world? Do you want to understand what he's up to? Well, he tells us. He tells us. And in this passage that we had read in all those different languages, wasn't that wonderful? God actually tells us what his plan is for the world. And I'm just going to read it in English, and just to remind us, he says this: "All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Now, if you were here last week, you would have heard that we looked at this name Jesus, and we saw that that Jesus is a name that shines, and we've also saw that Jesus is also a name that saves us from our sin and the consequences of it. And once Jesus has dealt with our sin, it becomes possible for God's eternal plan to be accomplished. This is his plan: for God to dwell in relationship with his people. The rescue that we were looking at last week, this week leads to relationship. The rescue of last week leads to relationship. So firstly, God with us. If you wanted one word to describe God, it would be this word: love. Love. God is a God of love, and that love expresses itself in a desire for relationship with us. And this is despite our sin. And we looked at sin last week, and we said, well, what's basically sin? It's this: it's shut up, I'm in charge, no one tells me how to live my life. That's basically sin. But despite our rejection of God, God is determined to have restored relationship with us. And so he sends his son, Jesus. God comes down. 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 The God of the whole universe becomes a little embryo. I've got a picture here of a little baby in the womb. Wow. The God who made everything became a little baby in the womb. That's what the verse says, doesn't it? The virgin will be with child. That's extraordinary. Extraordinary. This one called Jesus, who has many names. One of the names he's given is this name, Emmanuel, which means God with us. And perhaps the question comes to mind is this: is he really? Is this Jesus really God with us? Is he really God? That's quite a claim, isn't it? The Bible says that if you want to know what God is like, you need to look at Jesus. He's the visible image of the invisible God. Is that true? Is that true? Well, what would you expect Jesus to be like if that was true? You'd expect him to have extraordinary power, wouldn't you? If this was really God on earth, you'd expect him to be like no other man. I just want to talk a little bit about this Jesus as he grew up and became a man. What sort of man was he? Well, the first thing I want us to see is that he had power over nature. You know, Jesus, he was in a storm once, and his disciples, hardened fishermen, were terrified. They thought they were going to drown. He was asleep. They woke him up and said, you know, teacher, don't you realize we're going to drown? And he turned to the storm, to the wind and the waves, and he said, quiet, be still. And the sea was flattened. Now, I've tried this in my bath, and I've washed the water up and down, and I've tried be still, and I can't even do it in my bath. Jesus did it with the sea. He had power over nature. He had power over sickness. You know, people flocked to Jesus. And one of the reasons they flocked to him was because he was healing people sort of left, right, and center. The blind were seeing, the deaf were hearing, the paralyzed were getting up and walking. He had power over sickness. He had power to teach. You know, the most wonderful words came from the mouth of Jesus. They were the sort of words you'd expect God to speak. Is this just a man? Or is he more than a man? He had power to forgive sins, and we're going to come back to that. He had power, perhaps most extraordinary of all, he had power over death. He was at the funeral of one of his friends, Lazarus, who'd been dead for 3 days. And he called out, Lazarus, come out. And this man, Lazarus, who'd been in the tomb for 3 days, walks out in the grave clothes. Everyone was pretty freaked out. He still had the grave clothes on him. He had power over death. Over death. Who is this man? Who is this man? It would appear that this man, however unlikely it might seem, was and is God. God with us. This one called Emmanuel. God with us. Secondly, God with me. You see, that's all great, isn't it? Jesus came, God with us. But I don't know about you, but I need someone who is here now. I need someone who is real. I need someone who will involve themselves in my life, in my difficulties, in my struggles, in my successes. Jesus' name is not us with God. It is God with us. You know, Christianity is not just about a hope at the end of life, some sort of distant, vague thing. But there's actually a wonderful promise that Jesus gives at the end of this book of Matthew that we've been reading from. And he gives this wonderful promise. It says this, "And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." With you always to the very end of the age. Someone used a rugby illustration. And one of the keys to winning a game of rugby is to break through the line of defense of the opposition. But if you do that on your own, if you break through the game line on your own, you very quickly find yourself isolated and turned over. The most wonderful thing when you play rugby, as you break through the game line, as you break through the opposition, is to hear on your shoulder one of your teammates say, "With you. With you." And not just say "with you," but to actually be with you and to power you through. And maybe this Christmas, you just need to hear that. Those words of Jesus, "I am with you. With you." Whether you're facing difficulties or struggles, whether joys or successes, Jesus says, "I'm with you." It is not us with God. It is God coming down to us. God with us. You know, this is so, so important to understand, because the problem that you and I have is that on our own, we can't get to God. There's a chasm between us, as we looked at last week. And I've just got a little illustration for you to have a look at. And there's a chasm that's caused by this thing called sin. This thing I'm saying, basically, I'm going to live my life my way. And you may just be wondering, why did Jesus come? Why did Jesus have to come down to us? What does it mean, God with us? Why has Jesus come? Well, this hopefully will illustrate in a nutshell why Jesus came. Jesus came to die on a cross to bridge the gap between us and God. To bridge the gap between us. It wasn't us trying to get to God. We've tried that and failed. But God loves us, loves each one of us, loves you, and comes in the person of his son, Jesus, and bridges the gap so that we can have relationship with him. You know, the presence of God, relationship with God, is available to us now. And it's hard to describe the wonder of having a relationship with God through Jesus. You know, people in our society are desperate for relationships, aren't they? Absolutely desperate. There's songs about them all the time. And perhaps one of our biggest disappointments in life comes when relationships go wrong or they end, for whatever reason that might be. But the most wonderful thing is when a relationship is restored. That is the most wonderful thing. I wonder, do you want the best relationship restored this Christmas? That's why Jesus came. Jesus came to bridge the gap between us and God, to come and offer you and I relationship with him. Jesus talks about having life to the full. I wonder, have you got life? Have you got life? Perhaps you're here tonight and you're thinking, I know I don't have this relationship. I know I don't have this relationship with God. Can I just say, thank you for coming. Thank you for coming. Thank you for taking time to be with us and to meditate on the Christmas story. I wonder, have you ever taken time to say thank you to Jesus for coming? Thank you to Jesus. You know, Christmas is here, 2 days' time. It'll soon be over. And when it's over, we'll sort of get the Christmas decorations and we'll pack them away. Can I encourage you this Christmas, when you pack your decorations away, don't pack Jesus away with your decorations. This message, this Jesus, this Emmanuel, God with us, is so wonderful. He's worth keeping throughout the year and throughout your life. Do you have questions? I expect you do if you're like me. You know, the Alpha Course, as Johnny was sharing, is a wonderful place to ask questions. If you want to find out more about that, you can look on our website. But come along on Tuesday, 29th of January, to the Alpha Course. You'd be really welcome. Come back to church. Another great place to have your questions answered. Jesus was given the name Emmanuel, which means God with us. He can also be God with you personally this Christmas. Let's pray together. I'm just going to pray a prayer of thanks to God. And you can pray this prayer for yourself in your heart if you want to. If you've no, you've never said thank you to Jesus for coming. Thank you, Jesus, that you came. Not just for the whole world, but you came for me. I'm sorry for those things in my life that have separated me from you. Thank you that you forgive me. Thank you that you died on a cross for me so that I can have a relationship with you now. Thank you that you bridged the gap. Please come into my life by the power of your Spirit. I ask in the name of Jesus. Amen.